As I was getting ready, I was praying, and I was in the Spirit, and I was talking with God, and I kept getting the words, "Just do it." And I was like, "God, is it a Nike commercial? What's going on? Just do it." And so I was getting into this, "Just do it," and this is what the Lord gave me. So, do you know that we do not always serve a logical God? It's not always logical, the things that he asks you to do. It's not always, "Oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Let's go right along with this." Sometimes he asks you to do the illogical. Sometimes he asks you to do things that doesn't make sense in your brain. But the best part about this is we don't have to understand everything. We have to trust in the one who does understand everything. Because we can't see everything that he sees. We can't know everything that he knows. And we wouldn't want to. Our brains would explode. So we don't serve a God who's always logical. But we do serve a God who is always right. Always. Every time, even when it doesn't make sense to us, even when we don't see the end goal, even when we don't see the big picture, he's still right. He is the one who is right. If it's a contest between whether I'm right or God's right, guess who's losing? Not God. It's me. It's my flesh. And so sometimes we have to get out of our own way. So even when it doesn't make sense, just do it. That's the premise of this message. So we see this time and time and time again in the Bible. And I mean, so many times. And I'm going to go through some examples today. So the first one that, I mean, there's many, but we're going to start with Noah, right? Noah, God said, "I want you to build a boat." And Noah said, "What's a boat?" It had never rained. He lived in the desert. It wasn't just, "Oh, a boat? Really? Are you sure? It's, what's a boat?" You know? He had no context because there was no rain. So there was no oceans or rivers or lakes where he lived. I mean, there was probably some rivers. They had to have water. But what's a boat? God gave him instructions, and instead of saying, "Yeah, I'm not so sure about that," he said, "Yes, sir, I'm going to build a boat. I'm going to build a boat in the desert, even though it doesn't make sense to me. Even though, you want me to build it how big? That's a pretty big boat. This is going to take me some time. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just do it." And then God tells him, "Okay, now you're going to bring in some animals. Two of every kind." Every kind? We couldn't maybe leave some of them? No? All of them? Okay. Didn't make sense, because the lions next to the gazelles probably be problematic in the natural. But to God, he had a plan and it made sense. And so even though it didn't make sense to Noah, because if God tells you, "Bring two and two, you know, two animals of every kind," you're like, "Why?" But he didn't question, he didn't wait for an answer. He got to work. And because he got to work, the blessings, the obedience begot the blessing. So next we're going to talk about Abraham. And Abraham had multiple times as well. Multiple times that God told him to do something that didn't make any sense. That to him probably was not very logical. So we're going to talk about a few of them. If you want to turn to Genesis 12, verse 1. And it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Leave your native country your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. It wasn't, go to this place over here. Here's a nice map. It's marked right here. And by the way, you can take all your family with you. And by the way, I have some great crops for you when you get there. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to worry about your sheep. No. It was go where I will send you. So you need to start taking those steps. And as you take those steps, I'm going to order those steps. And as I order those steps, I'm going to get you where I want you to go. And by the way, where I want you to go, it's the promised land. But to him, it was go where I will send you. There was no firm plan. For me, that's always tends to be my issue. Okay, God, I'll do whatever you want. What's the plan? Sometimes he doesn't give us a plan. And it's not logical. But you know what? We got to just do it. If he tells you to do something, even when it doesn't make sense, you just do it. You do it because you have faith that he is the supplier. So, but because he was obedient, and obedient begets blessing. In verse 2 and 3, it says, I will make you into a great nation. This is God to Abraham. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others, and I will bless those who bless you and curse you, those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Because he was obedient, he got to walk into his blessing. If he would have said, well, God, that's not really logical. I really enjoy my dad. My mom makes real good soup. I'm just going to stay right here. They would not have been the chosen people. And the blessings that we are still receiving today through the blood of Jesus would not have been begotten. Okay? So, it might have been illogical, but he did it anyway. And then the pattern continues. God says to him, I'm going to give you a baby. That's pretty good news. He's 90. 90 years old. I'm going to give you a baby. His wife is not much younger. He's like, her womb is dried up. And this time, he wasn't so obedient. He let his logical side get ahead of God's plan. And because he let his logical side, his mind, and his, you know, God, I don't think that's going to work. So I'm going to come up with my own plan. Because he did that, there was turmoil. Disobedience did not beget blessings. That is totally wrong English, and it's okay. Obedience begets blessing. Disobedience begets turmoil. And so, when he did not put his faith in God and say, okay, God, I don't understand your plan, but I understand that you have one. And so I'm just going to thank you for the things that you've told me to do. And I'm going to walk out what you told me to walk. When he took it into his own hand, that's when the trouble started. So then, finally, he does get the child that he was promised by God. God was so great, he blessed him anyway. Isn't that incredible? It took him some time, but he blessed him anyway. Then God tells him, you're going to take that son that I gave you in your 90s, and you're going to go sacrifice him. Wait, what? What? I kind of like this one. I'd rather keep this one around. But he learned his lesson, and he said, I don't understand it, but I'm going to walk out the path that you've laid before me. And because he walked out the path that was laid before him by God, even though it didn't make sense in here or in here, because that had to be heartbreaking. his only son, of Sarah, the son of the promise. I waited 90 years for this. You finally give me a son and now you're going to take it away. That had to be heartbreaking. But he said, okay, God, he's yours. Everything I got is yours. I'm going to follow this path. And he was obedient. And because he was obedient, God provided. God had a plan that was bigger than Abraham. He provided the ram on the mountain. He just needed to make sure that he was done fooling around, taking things into his own hand, and that he was ready to trust God with everything he had. And obedience begot blessing. Oh, it's so good. It's so, so good. Moses. Again, repeatedly. Things that didn't make sense. You know, he's in the desert having a good time with his father-in-law, out dealing with his sheep, and there's a burning bush. First of all, well, that's unfortunate. We don't have much water because desert. But then it starts talking to him. I don't know about you guys. My first instinct would be run away. That would be my first instinct. It would not be, let's stick around and see what this flaming bush is telling us. But he stayed. He took off his sandals on holy ground and he listened to the word of God. And God said, go and do this. And he's like, see, I stutter. And he had kind of a negotiation with God almost. But he wasn't saying, I'm not ever going to do this. He's saying, let's figure out a way. So once he got the word from God and God said, go and do this. I've already prepared this help for you. In fact, he's already on the way to you. He started walking out the plan that God had for him, even though he didn't know every step of that plan. And God provided. Obedience begot blessing. All the plagues, that also, like, you want me to do what now? There's going to be bugs? I don't really like bugs. Oh, frogs next? Well, I guess they'll eat the bugs. You know, like, it's not logical, but God. God is not always logical. He did the things that he was told to do, even when they didn't make sense. And because of that, it begot blessing. Pharaoh finally let them go. There's a really nice path to the promised land, really good roads to the promised land, clear, marked roads. They could have gone down those roads, but God said, no, don't do that. Don't go down those roads. Because if there's a battle, all of these Egyptians who have not been tested by the desert are going to turn around. Or not Egyptians, I'm sorry, the Israelites who have not been tested are going to turn around. So I want you to go this way. God, I've been there before. There's only water that way. But God, he had a plan. It was not logical. It was not logical for him. He was a prince in that country. He knew it pretty well. He'd probably traveled quite a bit. He knew that going this way, there's the Red Sea. That thing's pretty deep. It's not logical. But God. But he was obedient and said, yes, sir, and did the illogical thing that God was calling him to. And because he was obedient, he begot the blessing. He parted the Red Sea and he went through. Time and time and time again in the Bible. We're just going to keep going. We are going to keep going. Yeah, all venues of escape with that Red Sea were gone. But he trusted God. All of them. Every venue. Oh, and then there was the time that God told him to go and talk to the rock. But before, God had told him to strike the rock with his lucky stick. The lucky stick worked. So this time, I don't think talking to the rock is going to work. I'm going to use my lucky stick. And obedient, instead of being obedient, he was disobedient. And because he was disobedient, he robbed himself of his blessing. he did not get to walk into the promised land. And I have to tell you, after being 40 years in the desert, I bet that wasn't peaceful. I bet that was pretty much turmoil. So the disobedience begot turmoil yet again. So now I want to talk about Naaman. Naaman's not a very well-known story. Like, I mean, the story is, but the name, right? If I said, hey, let's chat about Naaman, would you know what I was talking about? Some of you would, some of you wouldn't. Some of these names in the Bible, I get them all mixed up and confused. I'd be like, oh yeah, that's the guy with the rock. I'm just kidding, not that one. The rock and the sling. But Naaman. So we're going to turn there. We're going to go to 2 Kings 5:1. And Naaman is actually not an Israelite. But we're going to talk about him anyway. In 2 Kings 5:1, it says, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. There was no cure for leprosy. With leprosy, things just started falling off, and highly contagious. So oftentimes you had to be walled away. And so Naaman's wife happened to have a servant. And that servant happened to be an Israelite. And that servant suggested, she said, Master, if you just go to where I'm from, we have prophets and you can be healed. She suggested this. And so she said, go to this prophet in Samaria for healing. And so he went to the king, who he had favor with, and said, please let me go. And so the king not only said yes, but sent him. And mind you, previous to this, it had just talked about in 2 Kings how Aram and Naaman had conquered so much. He was a pretty big deal, and everybody knew about him. In fact, the surrounding countries were probably pretty scared of him and thinking, maybe I'll be next. So Naaman goes to the king, big King Aram, and says, hey, I would like to go here. And so he says, yes, not only will you go there, I'm going to give you some things to offer up. So like a whole cart full of stuff. And then also, here's this letter from me to their king. Okay, and this is where we pick back up. So we're going to go all the way down to verse 8. It says, oh wait, no, sorry, I missed some things. So can you actually put up verse 7? When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. So the king ran scared because he said, obviously, if I can't kill him or if I can't heal him, they're coming for me next. This is a problem. This big, bad, scary man, this is a problem. But Elisha had no problem with it. Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay. And he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? That's a man who knows God. He knows that God has a plan. He knows that God has a purpose. He knows that his will needs to align with God's will, because God's will never needs to align with our will. He knew that God had him covered. So he said, why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to meet him. This big man who was like the commander of the armies that just had like captured a lot of people. He sent a messenger. He didn't even go out to meet him himself. He sent a messenger. He sent the post boy. This big guy. And he's like, it's not really worth my time. I'm going to send this messenger out. I love it. So great. He sent this messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of leprosy. Is that logical? I got to tell you, the Jordan River was not very clean. You want me to go to dirty water with my skin infection, get in it, and that's going to make me better? What? That's not logical. But, and it goes on to say, in verse 11, it goes on to say, but Naaman became very angry and stalked away. He was a little pouty. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. He thought he was pretty important. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. It wasn't a magic trick. Time and time again in the New Testament, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. That faith took some obedience. Took some coming out, putting yourself on the line and saying, I trust that you have me. God wasn't doing a magic trick. He was asking for the obedience. So he said, aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Parfar, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? Again, not logical. So Naaman turned and went away in rage. Right there, he almost stole his own blessing because he chose not to be obedient. And he could have lived the rest of his life in turmoil. But however, he had some pretty good people around him. And so his officers tried reasoning with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? He expected this thing that couldn't be healed, this unhealable disease, that he had to do something difficult, something hard in order to get healed. But instead, illogically, he was asked something simple. So it goes on to say, so you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. Yeah, that's like a duh. Like, at least try it, right? What's it going to hurt? You can't get really worse than you are, right? Just go try it. That's what his people were saying. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times. Now, here's the thing. If he would have went down to the river, and he was obedient, and he went down to the river and said, okay, I'm in. I'm going to dunk. Well, that didn't work. But he didn't stop at 1. He dunked again. And then he didn't stop at 2. He dunked again. He didn't stop at 3. Dunk. He didn't stop at 4, 5, or 6. What? Could you imagine if he would have stopped at 6 and went, this isn't working. These aren't even getting a little bit better. I'm out. He would have robbed himself of the blessing. He had to be obedient to the word of God that said 7 times. And he went down again the 7th time and came back up healed. Woo! He came back up healed. 7 times, as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became healthy as the skin of a young child. It was not logical, but God had a bigger plan. He had his will that you had to show the faith and obedience. And once you're obedient, you begot the blessing. Amen? So just do it. Just do it. Do the thing that God is asking you to do. It might be a simple thing. It might be a hard thing. But just do it. Just do it. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are up next. I love this story. I love this so much. I love the story beforehand of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and they're all buddies. And they've all been taken away, and they come in to this Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and Nebuchadnezzar is like, you guys are going to be my people, right? You're going to be my servants. You're going to be in the cool club of servants. And He's like, here's the best wine, here's the best food, here's the best stuff. But they were told by the law of Moses that they were not supposed to be eating or drinking those things. And so because they weren't supposed to be eating or drinking those things, he said, you know, how about just some water? How about, what if we just had these things? And so he went to like the head of the servants and he asked for these things. Daniel did. And he said, yeah, I can't disobey my king like this. And he said, Daniel said, just try for 10 days. Just 10 days. And so finally he agreed. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were healthier than any of the other servants. Because they were doing things God's way. Again, not logical. You are captured. You are a slave. You do things that your slave master says, or you probably would get beat or executed or worse. It wasn't logical to fight for the law of God. But they did it anyway. They just did it. That wasn't even in my notes. Okay, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So this story is very likely the most relevant to our culture today, to our society today, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were under some serious pressure. Some serious, serious pressure. But just like in Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And that's in the New King James. In the NLT, it says it like this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't do it. Because the way of the world is not God's way. God's way is better. God's way is higher. God's way, it just is. It's so much greater. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had some pretty tough situations to deal with. They were told, if you do not bow to this idol, we will kill you. If you do not transform to this world, conform to this world, if you don't copy the customs of this world, you're done. So the logical thing would be like, well, you know, God knows my heart. I'm just going to bow, but I'm not really going to feel it in here. No. No. Do not transform. Do not conform. You've got to be in the Word of God and in the presence of God. And also, by the way, you have to know the Word of God so that you know where your line is not to cross. And if you don't know where your line is, it's like that old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's not where we want to be. We want to be standing on our firm foundation, the rock, which is the cornerstone. Ooh, it's so good. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a lot of pressure. But he was one of the favored of King Nebuchadnezzar. All three of them were some of the favored of King Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't really want to kill them, but he was going to, you know, to stand on purpose. Stand on his belief. He said it, so I gotta do it. So he told them one last time, okay guys, get your act together. This is it. This is the end of the line. Tomorrow, that's it. That's your last chance. And this is what they responded to him. In Daniel 3, verse 16 through 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Isn't that so good? When there's someone coming to accuse you, we don't have to defend ourselves because God is our defense. We don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, then the God whom we serve is able to save us. But, oh no, it goes on to say, he will rescue us from your power and your majesty, because do you know what? His power is much, much higher, much better. His majesty is much greater than anyone in this earthly realm. This is my favorite part. But even if he doesn't, he's able, he's capable. I have full faith that he can. But even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, we want to make it crystal clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. They were obedient, and obedience begot blessing. They still had to go in the fire, but they weren't alone. And that fire was so hot, it killed the guards that threw them in. But there was another in the fire. Oh, I love it. Obedience begot the blessing. They were obedient. If they hadn't been obedient, it would have begot turmoil for them. It might have been a little easier to get through their day. It wasn't logical for them to say, oh no, we're not going to do that. But God, but God, but God, but God, but God. So in the New Testament, there's so many more examples. These are the ones that were put on my heart. So Peter, there's two for Peter that I came up with. And one of them is where he went, you know, he saw Jesus coming out and walking on the water. And he said, hey, that's kind of cool. I want to do that. And Jesus said, come on. That's not logical. That water was deep. Those waves were high. That's not logical. But because he stepped out in faith, he did it. And then his faith shook. And so he started sinking. But once he got his eyes back on Jesus and took the hand of Jesus and said, oh, yep, your plan's better than my plan, it begot the blessing. Because I don't know many other people who have walked on water, do you? That's a pretty big blessing. Another time that a thing happened that was not logical. They had to go and pay the temple tax, Jesus and Peter. They had to go and pay a temple tax. And he was just talking about how, you know, This whole thing is, it's a little, well, we're just going to do it. We're going to do it. So I don't have any money. Peter, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go get a fish and open its mouth. And inside of that mouth, you're going to find the money to pay for the temple tax. What? I don't know if you know this, but fish don't usually produce coins. They produce other things. Not coins. I mean, you could sell a fish and get a coin. That's logical. But God said, open its mouth and pull out the coins. That's not logical. But Peter did what he said. Peter did what Jesus said when he said it, didn't question. He just did it. And because he was obedient, he begot that blessing. Obedience begets blessing. In fact, the verse is Matthew 17:27, and it says, however, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. What? That's incredible. If we're struggling with things, maybe we need to do some more fishing. You know? Really, what we need to do is trust that God will do the things that he said that he would do. And he said that his children will not go begging for bread. And so we need to trust that God has a plan and a purpose for us, and he will take care of us. Amen. There, another illogical thing. One of the very first miracles Jesus ever did. turning the water into the wine. They were at a party. They ran out of alcohol. Jesus' mother comes to him and says, please, has to like beg him. Jesus is fine, like, yep, okay, I'll do it. Can you imagine being those servants? You want me to fill what? With what water? These are ceremonial. You want me to fill these with water? These are for washing. Water? But we're out of wine. Did you not hear? Do we need to check your, no? It's not logical. It's not logical. But God, they did what they were asked of. And because they did what they were asked of, they were obedient, and Jesus performed the miracle, and there was the blessing. Because that's a bad look, not just on the hosts, but on all the servants too. That meant that they weren't doing their job right in portioning out the wine. So they got a blessing from that as well as the hosts. So cool. So, okay. I've got one more. I have a few more, but I'm going to narrow it down because I'm looking at the time. So the disciples, when they went out two by two, Jesus sent them out and said, don't take anything. Don't take additional food. Don't take additional clothes. Don't take additional shoes. Just go. So they had them in their lunch. That was it. And they were going across the country, sometimes countries, to different places where Jesus sent them, to places where they probably didn't know anyone, to do things that Jesus had asked them to do. Again, not super logical. It's like, oh, okay, so how many days is this going to take? How am I going to eat? Those are logical questions. But God asked them to do something illogical, and that was just to trust. To trust that God's ways are higher than our ways. God's plans are better than our plans. And so they said, yep, we'll do it. And because of that, many people were healed. Many people were delivered. If they had not been obedient, the other people would not have begotten their blessing. Sometimes the blessings that are begotten are not for us. And when we are not obedient, we are robbing other people of their blessings. We need to be obedient. And when God tells us to do something, we just do it. When God tells you to go and sit with the person whose car won't start for an hour and a half, you just do it. Because you never know what kind of a blessing that is to that person. You never know when that person needed just that right thing, and maybe you're the answer that God has for them in that situation. But if you're not obedient, you're not just losing out on your blessing, you might be stealing a blessing from somebody else. And I never want to be the reason somebody else doesn't get their blessing. Ever. So just do it. Just do it. Here's the best part. When God tells us to do something, he does not tell us that we have to do it alone. In Ezekiel 33:7, it says, now, son of man, this is God talking to Ezekiel, now, son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die, and you fail to tell them their wicked ways, to change their ways, then they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible. But if you warn them to repent and they don't repent, then they will die in their sins and you will be saved. So once God tells you to do something, guess what? It's then your responsibility to do so. And if you don't and you steal those blessings, that's on your head. I don't want that for me. I don't know about you. So when God tells you to do something, just do it. In Revelation 3:8, talking to one of the churches, it says, I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. You don't have to do it alone. God will open the door for you. He's opened a door. And even though you had little strength, you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Because they were obedient, they begot some amazing blessings. And if you're scared, God has a word for that too. Psalms 23, man. I know most of us know it. We're going to read through it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Do you know that sometimes a shepherd has to kind of knock the sheep back in place so that it doesn't fall off a cliff? But the shepherd is the one who guides the sheep because he loves the sheep. I don't know about you. I have two dogs. And they're sheepadoodles. So they're kind of, I mean, they got sheep in the name and they go about here. And these dogs, some people can have dogs and they're just dogs. These guys are like my family. I just love them. And a lot of shepherds, they love their sheep. And do they know that those sheep are a form of the way that they can pay for things so they know that eventually something might happen to those sheep? Yeah. But until that point, those shepherds are going to give those sheep the best life they can have. Because we're not all promised that we will live eternity in this world. But while we're here, we are promised that we have a shepherd that will help us and guide us and keep us safe. Amen? Verse 2 says, he lets me rest in green meadows and he leads me beside peaceful streams. If you're not at peace, it's probably not from God. I'm not saying there's not hard things and difficult things, but if you're walking into a situation and you're not having the peace that passes all understanding on the inside of you, you might want to check and check your heart and check your situation and check with God and make sure that you're following his will and not your own. Because God is the giver of peace. And so if you're not at peace, it's kind of a problem. In fact, I was just talking with my aunt the other day, and she was telling me that this political stuff is all just, she gets so upset about it. And I said, you know, Auntie, first of all, I don't talk politics, but also because it kind of gets to me a little too, and I'm not at peace, and it doesn't sound like you're at peace either, and she's a Christian. I told her, I said, you know, if you're not having peace, shut it off. Shut off the news that you're watching all the time. Shut it off. And then when it gets closer, get out the bulletins and read about it. But you don't need this turmoil for all of this time because that's not of God. If you are not at peace, ask God what you need to change in you to get back on his track. Okay. In verse 3, it says, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Hallelujah. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid because you're close to me. Your rod and your staff protect me. You comfort me. I'm not afraid when I'm going through the darkness. I'm at peace because I know that he is the Prince of Peace, that he gives me the peace that passes all understanding. So I am not afraid. I'm not going to be, because he's got me. He's got me. You prepare a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. I've been in the presence of some people who are not fond of me. And I'm not going to lie. There was turmoil there for me. There was some pretty big turmoil. But you know what God says to do? Sit down and eat. Don't worry about them. I've got that side covered. You sit down. You deal with what you need to deal with. And I'll take care of the rest. He prepares a feast. before me in the presence of my enemies. So good. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Obedience begets blessings. Hallelujah. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. So sometimes God asks us to do the illogical, and our flesh might rebel really strong about doing that because it doesn't make sense. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. When God calls us to do things that we don't think we can do, He does not tell us to be better. He tells us He'll be with us. So, just do it. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we worship You and we honor You. And we are so thankful that You are the Prince of Peace. We thank You that You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank You that You are the Almighty. We thank You that You are the Creator of heaven and earth. And if You can create heaven and earth and You had a plan to put the stars in the sky, then You have a plan for me. And it's not my job to know the plan. It's my job to trust You. So right now, Lord, we are surrendering our will to Yours. And we're trusting that Your will is better. Lord, I thank You for leading us. I thank You for guiding us. I thank You for giving us Your Holy Spirit to live inside of us. I thank You for who You are and what You're doing. In Your holy, holy, holy name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. If you're watching online, I thank you and I hope that you got something tonight. If you're struggling with something, just do it. Amen. Bless you. May God keep you. Join us again on Sunday. We'll be here. Amen. Amen.